Good morning. Let's turn to Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. And he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food and from the wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them from the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander and the officials. And the commander of the officials said to Daniel, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has appointed your food and your drink. For why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then you would make me forfeit my head to the king." But Daniel said to the overseer, whom the commander of the officials had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let us be given some vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be observed in your presence and the appearance of the youths who are eating the king's choice food, and deal with your servants according to what you see." So he listened to them in this matter and tested them for 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and the wine they were to drink, and kept giving them vegetables. As for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. Then at the end of the days, which the king had specified for presenting them, the commander of the officials presented them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and out of them all, not one was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered the king's personal service. As for every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king consulted them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and conjurers who were in all his realm. And Daniel continued until the first year of Cyrus the king. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this passage. We thank you for the Daniel and the story of Daniel. And pray that you will come and speak to us today, this morning. Pray that you will use me. And we want to open our hearts to you, to your word and to your convictions. So Holy Spirit, come and lead us today, and we invite your presence to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Daniel, I've just been reading Daniel for my personal quiet time, and he has to be one of my favorite characters in the Bible. You know, he is such a man of faith and so faithful to God, and unshaken, you know, by what the circumstances brought to him. Just a little bit of background information. Israel and Judah both were disobedient. Israel gets exiled to Assyria, and they just kind of assimilate with them, and they're no more. Judah remains, but they also follow the ways of Israel. So they also get exiled, at least for 70 years. They get exiled to Babylon first, and then Babylon gets taken over by Persia. So Judah gets besieged by Babylon, and the king and the people get exiled to the land of Babylon. And there has been prophecies, right, saying to the exiles, hey, when you go to Babylon, remain in that land. Don't try to come back. God says, don't rely on your own strength and wisdom and try to fight your way back. Stay there, submit to the Babylonians, pray for the peace of that land, and if they prosper, you're going to prosper. So that's kind of what's happening. And Daniel, it tells us in this chapter that Daniel and his three friends were among the few young men that were taken over to Babylon specifically to be trained for the king's service. And I just did a quick research on the internet, and it sounds like, or it looks like, they would have been teenagers, late teen, 15 to 17, about, that's the age when they were taken over to this land to be trained for 3 years, to be trained and to study under the king's service, and then to be presented before the king to see if they would be fit for serving the king in the palace. So we're all familiar with this story. And they refuse to defile themselves with the food that the king offers them. So they reject it. Probably all the choice food that the king offered them had all kinds of unclean things in it. According to the Jewish law, it would have been unclean for them to eat. Plus, these foods would have been sacrificed to idols. That's probably the reason why Daniel and his three friends say, we don't want to defile ourselves with these foods, because that goes against the law of God that that was set before them. They persist in this matter, and the guards finally okay. He tests them for 10 days. He sees that the results are fine, so he okays it. Familiar passage, but one thing stood out to me when I was reading this again. Daniel is described, later in the book, Daniel is described as someone that has the spirit of the holy gods in him. The king and the officials, when they see the wisdom of Daniel, they can see that there is something special about Daniel. And their description of him is, the spirit of the holy gods is in him. But we probably know, just with our insight, that he didn't have the spirit of the holy gods, but he had the Holy Spirit in him, right? He had the Spirit of God resting upon him. And that's where all this wisdom and insight and this ability came from. So I was thinking, we also have the Holy Spirit inside of us, right? When we come into faith in Jesus Christ, the scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit now lives inside of us, and Corinthians tells us that we have the mind of Christ. Daniel, when he had the Spirit of God inside of him, resting upon him, he was so filled with wisdom and insight that he distinguished himself, from among all the magicians and advisors and conjurers. Daniel was, and his three friends, he says they were 10 times better than these guys. And yet, the same Spirit, Holy Spirit, lives inside of us, and we have the mind of Christ. So doesn't that mean that technically we should be the same way, We should have that same kind of wisdom and insight, and that should distinguish us from people that don't have the Holy Spirit. I mean, it sounds funny to say, but we should have an advantage, right, over non-Christians in a way. They don't have the Spirit of God in them the same way we have the Spirit of God. They don't have the mind of Christ. So technically, we should have this advantage, but I find that often that is not the case, And so I kind of wrestle with that. I go to God and I say, God, how come? You know, I have the Spirit of God in me, but I don't feel like I have this wisdom, you know, and this insight and this ability that Daniel had above my fellow, you know, companions. And so I've been kind of asking God, and definitely I need this wisdom, right? I mean, for ministry, getting ready for the wedding, just for life, you know. We need this kind of wisdom. I read this passage, I read this story of Daniel, and I always think, God, it'll be so awesome. I need to have this wisdom and insight that Daniel had. Would you give that to me? And I think we all would agree that we would need this wisdom. That if we had this insight wisdom, it'll be so beneficial, you know. We would be more powerful, more effective in all that we do. So let's turn to verse 17. Turn with me there. As for these four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. So this verse 17, what this tells us is that this knowledge and this intelligence and the ability to understand visions and dreams, all of this came after their decision to honor God. They didn't start with this. I mean, they were chosen. They were cream of the crop, right? They were chosen to be trained because they were good looking. They showed some ability and all that. But this verse where it says God gave them knowledge, intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. Daniel understood all kinds of visions and dreams. This happens after they make that decision to honor God, and they... in a way, I think they pass the test. And after they make that decision, they say, it's a difficult decision, right, to honor God. Then, I believe they were given this intelligence and knowledge and insight and ability. Does that make sense? I feel like that's true for us. That, yeah, I mean, I don't know, right? I don't know why it works like that, but I think there is some kind of test that we need to pass in order for us to really be able to operate in this kind of gifting and this kind of wisdom and insight. That God probably wants to pour that out upon us, but unless we have maybe the character and the faithfulness that is displayed before God, maybe we don't have access to this kind of thing. Their decision to honor God was not an easy thing. Definitely, it was an uncomfortable thing, you know? Can you imagine, for Daniel and his three friends, it would have been so easy for them to say, you know what, let's just go with the flow. You know, God told us to come to Babylon and to prosper in this land and to pray for the peace of this land. So, and we've been chosen to enter into this special training. Surely God's okay if we just participate in it, if we partake in this food and just the whole experience of it. Surely it's okay. And it would be so easy for them, I think, just to be, you know, let's just go with the flow. You know, let's just kind of, let's see where this goes. But they didn't go with the flow. They weren't passive in their desire to honor God. They said, no, they put their foot down and they did the uncomfortable thing. And they said, you know what, I think we need to stop and honor God here. It would have been so easy. Everybody else is doing it. And for them to say, yeah, God's called us to this. He told us to prosper in Babylon. So let's just go with what they're doing. But they say, no, you know, we're going to honor God. We're not going to defile ourselves with this. And they risked their favor with the official. You know, they had special favor with the officials. God had given them favor, but they risk it by, you know, stirring up trouble. If you're, you know, if sometimes if your boss or someone above you is mean to you, it's already difficult for you to kind of stand up for yourself and do something to stir up the waters. But sometimes if the boss or someone has special favor over you, that's when it's even harder to like stir up the waters, because you want to maintain that favor. You want to maintain this good position that you're in. But they don't think about that. They just risk it by saying, you know, official, we don't want to defile ourselves. Can we do something new here? Can we not eat the choice foods that the king's offering us? And they demonstrate the faith that God is in control. You know, they trusted that their favor and their well-being and their success didn't lie upon man, but they trusted that it was God that gave them this favor, that it was God that was going to lead them and guide them and maintain their relationship with their bosses, basically, their officials, the king and everybody else. They didn't trust themselves, or they didn't trust in mankind, but they trusted that God was in control. And so they said, okay, you know what? Even though this is scary and uncomfortable, I'm just going to take this step of faith. And then secondly, in their decision to honor God, they gave up choice foods. Right? They gave up this very natural kind of great thing that was offered to them. Choice food that they would have had for 3 years. 3 years they would have had a chance to eat the food that the king offered them. But instead, they said, we're just going to have vegetables and water. So, effectively what they did was a 3-year vegetable fast. That's crazy. To honor God, they said, you know what, we're going to give up all this stuff. We're going to eat vegetables and just drink water for 3 years. So, in order to honor God, they were willing to give up the pleasures of eating this choice food. I mean, amongst the choice food, there could have been some legit good food, you know, that wouldn't have defiled them. But in order to fully honor God, they gladly gave that up. They gave up this natural kind of blessing, natural blessing and benefit of eating good food, and they were able to lay that down before the king. I think it's amazing because I'm not willing to give up that much for God. I mean, if I had to give up 3 years of choice food and just have vegetables and water, I don't know if that would be easy for me to do. A lot of times, I think as Christians, we don't really talk much about sacrifice. But these guys, they were, in order to honor God, in order to not defile themselves and to say, to choose to honor God, they said no to choice food for 3 years. I hope I can communicate this. I think sometimes in our Christian walk, we think if we give up something for God, God's going to give something better in return, which is true, right? They gave up choice food. They gave up kind of risking their favor with the officials, and God gave them something better in return, wisdom and insight. And later on, they were lifted to a position of honor. But the thing that comes back is not always maybe the thing that we want. You know, I mean, for them, the reality is for 3 years, they only had vegetables and water. It was wisdom and insight that came for these guys. But in terms of food, at least for 3 years, they gave that up. And sometimes when we choose to honor God, there is, I think, no guarantee that we're necessarily going to have, like, more material blessings. Often, I mean, just in terms of being in ministry, when we pray for personally, you know, when we pray for, like, what's my next step, what's the next decision, we always say to God, God, just use me wherever you want me to go. But after you've been working for a while and you gain a bit of comfort and you get used to a certain lifestyle, when you say to God, God, wherever you want me to go, you say that, but really, you're saying, wherever you want me to go, at least as long as I have at least the same amount of pay and at least the same amount of comfort and convenience, you know, and prestige, then wherever you want me to go, I will go. But if that means I'm giving up what I'm used to now, then I mean, honestly, that's not even an option, really. When I just naturally think about, God, where do you want me to go? Well, I don't even think about options that are less comfortable, less, you know, less money, all that stuff. It's not even like in the radar. And naturally we think, okay, something higher, something better, where do you want me to go? And, you know, I mean, God wants us to be blessed and have all this stuff, but I don't know if God wants us to have all this stuff, but God wants us to be blessed. But, you know, like when we give up something for God, what comes in return may not always be the thing that we want, you know, or that we naturally kind of want. It may not be a bigger house. It may not be a more comfortable lifestyle. May not be more prestige, but we will be blessed. You know, God will bless us, but it may not be what we think, you know, it's going to be. So they passed the test, so to speak, in this time where they had to choose to honor God. They passed the test. They chose to trust in God, not in man, and they made the difficult, uncomfortable decision to say to them, we're not going to go with the flow. We're going to break the tradition, maybe, or break kind of the norm, and we're going to go with this new thing. We're going to just eat vegetables and water. And in doing that, not only did they make that risky choice and uncomfortable decision, but they were also willing to say, I'm willing to sacrifice food. I'm willing to sacrifice this natural comfort because I want to honor God. Honoring God is more important to me than making sure that I have nice food to eat. They were able to say, for 3 years, we're just going to have vegetables and water. And what I want to say, and what I'm challenged by is, I want to be more like Daniel. And as I was writing that prayer down, God, I want to be more like Daniel. I realized what I'm praying for is, I want to be put in situations like Daniel, where I'm going to be faced with choices, where I need to choose to honor God. And so do you want to pray that prayer? You know, do you want to be more like Daniel? But you know, if we're more like Daniel, that also means that we're going to have this insight and wisdom. And I don't know, this favor is going to be upon us. But this favor, insight, wisdom came after they made the decision to honor God. So that's kind of where I want to leave us with, you know, and I think we need to just pray, you know, to the Holy Spirit and ask Him to reveal to us, you know, how in our situation, how can we make the decision to honor God like Daniel did? Is it standing up to our bosses if they are, I don't know, doing something that is shady? Or is it, I don't know, it could be so many things, right? I'm praying about that too. And I work at the church, so there isn't really an opportunity for me necessarily to stand up to a boss that is ungodly. But, you know, there are times when I can trust man or trust God, you know. And maybe there are times where I'll be tested and say, am I willing to give up kind of the natural comforts of this life for me to honor God? If it means for 3 years I'm going to be without good food, you know, I'm just going to be eating vegetables and water. Am I willing to make that sacrifice? If it means I'm going to have less comforts of this life, am I willing to make that sacrifice to honor God? So let's just go before the Holy Spirit and ask Him to speak to us. Holy Spirit, I thank You for this time. I just pray that You will speak to all of us, God. Speak to myself and every single person here about this idea, you know, of sacrificing, surrendering these things to You and making that decision to honor You, to break out of you know, what is comfortable, to not just go with the flow, but to be proactive, you know, to not be passive with all these things that's happening, but God, to really pray and hear from you and really discern, you know, are there things that you're calling us to say no to, you know, that you're calling us to kind of make a stand for? And I pray that we will be able to hear you in that, and that we will be able to make that decision. And if that decision comes with some sacrifices, that we would be so willing to do that, because it's much better to honor you than to enjoy, you know, whatever natural comforts or blessings that might come our way. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to us, and we want to worship you as we sing this song together. Thank you, God. Let's go before God, and let's like this song says, let's surrender our lives before Him. And no matter what the cost may be, that our desire would be to honor God, to not compromise, but to honor God and to trust that He will take care of us. And that may mean we're giving up certain things, but that it's better to be blessed by God and to have His wisdom and His insight and His favor than it is to have these earthly things. So yeah, let's just go before God and ask the Holy Spirit to help us to really surrender everything before Him. Yes, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are in us, God, and you are with us. And I pray that everyone here, that we would have this incredible wisdom and insight that Daniel had, and that we would be able to really be a witness to our coworkers and to our bosses, to our companies, of the power and the greatness of God. You know, that we would be able to say, yeah, because we are with God, God is with us, that we're able to, make these deals happen and do all these great things, God, that it would glorify you and help us to pass the character test and the faith test, faithfulness test, you know, so that we may be able to walk in this kind of wisdom and insight. Thank you, God. Let's pray together. Let's pray for our community. Let's go before the Lord and pray for our church members and family members going through cancer and chemotherapy and waiting for a transplant. Let's pray and lift them up to the Lord. Let's go to the second slide. Let's pray for our church members and family members that are going through serious illness and also are in need of salvation. Let's just lift them up to the Lord. Let's pray for God's mercy and let's pray for God's healing to come upon them. So let's lift them up together. Let's pray for the third slide. Let's pray for various infirmities
that our church members are going through and their family members are going through. Let's pray for healing and strength to come upon them in this time. Let's pray for our church members that are looking for employment. Let's pray for God's favor, and let's pray that they'll be able to find a great job quickly. So let's lift them up. Let's pray that they will not be discouraged in this time, but that they'll be able to go to God. Let's pray together. Let's go to our Thursday prayer focus. Let's pray for Korea, North Korea, South Korea. Pray for the kind of the missionary community in North Korea. Let's pray for them all. Pray for their businesses and pray for their relationships with the government and the people. Let's pray that they'll be able to continue to make a difference there. Pray for South Korea. Pray for a possible future church plant in that land. Let's also just pray for the government and the churches of South Korea. Let's pray for Japan as well. Pray for Pastor Mitsunobu and other churches and missionaries in that land. So let's lift up Korea and Japan together. Let's pray for intercessory prayer, the Well and Cascade. Let's pray for hospitality ministry, welcoming and barista. Let's cover these ministries, especially for IP, the Well, Cascade. Let's also pray for real protection over the ministers, because we know they're really in the front lines, you know, doing battle, spiritual battle. So let's pray for protection and strength for them. And yeah, let's cover these ministries. Let's lift up Hong Kong Korean Church, the church that we came out of. Let's pray for Pastor Choi, the senior pastor. Let's pray for the elders and the leaders of the church. Pray for the spiritual growth of this church and the church members, and also unity in this church. Let's pray that this church would really obey God and make an impact here in this land. So let's pray for this church. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today. Soho House Church, I think that's the only one meeting today. So let's pray for Soho House Church. Let's also pray for the retreat that's not on the list, but let's pray for SP Retreat that's coming up. Pray for Tom and Brian, and pray for all the logistics and everything, that it will come together well. And let's pray that our church would be ready. I pray for hunger and real desire to meet with God in our church. So let's pray for the house church meeting today and also for the retreat. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your grace over us. And thank you that we are your beloved children and that we walk with you. And help us in our daily walk to honor you and to always make the choice, the decision to honor you in all that we do. And help us to bring joy to your heart today. And the Holy Spirit, we give this day to you. Thank you so much, God. We love you. We bless you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a great day. And God bless you today. Oh, tomorrow is a public holiday, so we don't have morning prayer or lunchtime prayer. And we will resume morning prayer on Saturday. Thank you.